ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. So how many of us have been in church in the past 2 Sundays? I think Pastor maybe gave us like an assignment, kind of like, because we have been talking about tongues. Am I right? I've been talking about tongues, and I saw that, because I'm just going to continue his notes this morning, but I saw somewhere that he ministered testimonies. So it must have meant, I wasn't in church in the services last week, so it must mean that he must have said something to do, and he's expecting us to give like a feedback in the form of testimonies. How many people prayed more in the Holy Ghost during the course of the week? And I say, show of hand. How did he feel? How did he feel? How did he feel? Ma? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so that's the feedback. There was deliverance and safety for her. Okay, so this morning, I'm just going to continue Pastor's note. So we're still talking spirit-filled life. Hallelujah. So I'm going to lay I'm not laying a foundation, but I'm just going to build on what he has been talking about. Praise the Lord. Luke 24:49. Are you displaying that for me? Luke 24:49. I thought I had 1 hour. But wherever I stop, wherever the time, you know, meets up with me, I'll stop there. Luke 24:49. Can we be fast this morning? Or you want me to be opening my Bible myself? Okay, I'll do that. Luke 24:49. It says, and now... No, NKJV, please. I'm not doing NLT today. NKJV. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. It says, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. Acts 1:4-5. Acts 1:4-5. Note that he said they should stay there. Acts 1, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart, just like what we said, what he said in Luke 24. It says, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8. Verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Praise the Lord. John 14 from verse 15. And I want that in the Amplified Classic, please. John 14. It says, if you really love me, I'm going to verse 18. It says, if you really love me, you will keep obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. It says, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. It says, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Verse 18, where I'm going exactly. It says, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, fallen, helpless. I will come back to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. You know, some of us as believers behave like as if we are orphans. We behave as if we are helpless. We behave as if we are comfortless. We behave as if we are desolate. We behave as if we are bereaved. Praise the Lord. We behave as orphans. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I read 24, Luke 24, 49. It says that, tarry ye, wait until you be endued with power from on high. And Acts 1:8 talks about that power. Acts 1:8. Let's go back to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. Okay, it says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when did the Holy Spirit come upon them? Acts 2. Acts 2 and verse 4. Acts 2 and verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this was the Spirit that he told them to wait for. In 24:49, he says, don't go anywhere. Stay here until you be endued with power from on high. And this was the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit came upon them. And the evidence that it came upon them was that they began to speak in different tongues as the Holy Spirit himself gave them utterance. So Pastor has been preaching about tongues in the past 2 Sundays. Hallelujah. You know, speaking in tongues has become something, some come see, come sir. I speak, it's okay. I don't speak, it's fine. But it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And in that coming to us is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Of course, when we gave our lives, yes, there was an infilling because there was a change. The Holy Spirit came. John 1:12. It says, as many as believed him, to them he gave power to become. So when we got born again, he gave us power to become his children. Hallelujah. But then he told them, the disciples, that don't go out until this other thing happens. And that other thing that is going to happen is that the Holy Spirit will come on you. And that is the power that will enable you to live this life and do the work. Hallelujah. So, it is important and essential that we are filled with the Spirit. Somebody says, if I don't speak in tongues, will I not go to heaven? Of course you will go, but you may just go faster because you will lack power. Hallelujah. You will lack power. You will lack power. Is the tongues the coming of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? The tongues is just an evidence that power has come upon. Praise the Lord. That the power has come upon. John 16, 13. John 16, 13. John 16, 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. And in this time that we are in, we need to know things to come. How do you know these things to come? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is by consistently building up yourself in your most holy faith. That's Jude 20. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So, praying in the Holy Ghost is not something you do when you come to church. It's something that you set time for every day to do. Praise the Lord. It's something that you set time for. It's not, I feel like it today, I don't feel like it. Do you eat every day? Do you eat? What does that food do for you? It strengthens your body. So praying in tongues strengthens your spirit. So you have to do it every day. Praise the Lord. And it's not just, I'll go into it, reasons why we must. It's not just 2 minutes as you are going out of the door in the morning, you are going to work. Father, you understand. You are going. No, that's not it. It is something you do consciously. And it's something you do consistently. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the spirit-filled life. You don't do that, you cannot live a spirit-filled life. And there was something Pastor said last week. I took note of that. He says, a spirit-filled life precedes a spirit-led life. If you are not filled with the Spirit, there's no how that you can be led by the Spirit. If you are not, you are empty, how are you going to be, how are you going to be led? You will not know, you will not be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit if you are not filled with the Spirit. And one of the ways to be filled with the Spirit is by speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. So, any believer can know by the Spirit about something ahead of time as it presses into God. For you to know something ahead of time, he says he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things to come. And somebody says, but I don't know all things to come. I don't know. How am I supposed to know? And it's like, maybe this word is not true. No, the word is true. What happens most of the time is that we are not ready to pay the price. We are lazy. Hallelujah. We are spiritually lazy. You can afford to be on Instagram for 1 hour, but you cannot afford to pray for 30 minutes. Am I talking to somebody? You can watch Netflix. You can chill, binge watch Netflix 5 hours because it is Saturday. Say, I didn't go to work today. Let me just relax. Say, come and pray. Don't let me say 1 hour. Come and pray 30 minutes. The body is willing, but the flesh is weak. What was that thing? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can't make progress that way. We can't. That's why we don't know things to come. The things to come, when you're looking for, you know, this illustration kept coming to me, and I'm trying to remember where I saw it, or where, you know, when you have treasure in the earth, and then do you see diamonds on the surface? Do you just walk and you just kick diamonds? You say it's diamonds. You are just walking outside. That say it's, just pick it. Is it possible? The people that dig for minerals, why do you know how deep they dig? Do you know how deep? Do you know how deep? When you say miners, you know where they go. Do you know they go? They go into the very belly of the earth. Am I talking? So when you want to get treasures, even in the spirit realm, it's the same thing. You know, it is so fantastic that what you see in physical life is actually a replica of what happens in the spirit. It's not, you know, like two ways is this here. No. What you see around you like this, what happens to you physically, is this kind of thing that. So when you eat to strengthen your body, in the physical, in the spiritual too, you need to also eat to strengthen your spirit. And for you to, you know, like I said, live that spirit-filled life, spirit-controlled life, there is work to be done. Hallelujah. There is work to be done. The new birth is God's introduction of his life and nature to the sinner. So when we give our lives to God, no, you don't even give your life. You actually receive Christ. When we receive Christ, it is the introduction of his life and nature to the sinner. But the baptism in the Holy Ghost is God's introduction of his supernatural power to his children. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is God's introduction of his supernatural power to his children. And that is why he told them. It says, tarry ye here until you be endued with power. You need that power. You need the power to function. You need the power to walk. You need that power. You need that power. So you cannot do without that power. And that is why so many times it feels like you're a believer, but there's really not much difference between you and an unbeliever. Because we cannot see the evidence of the power. We cannot see what it is that is separating, apart from me telling us that you are born again. Praise the Lord. So, it is God's introduction of his supernatural power to his children. So this morning, I'm going to, like I said, as wherever time meets me, I'll stop. Reasons why you should speak in tongues. I have quite a number of them here, but I'll stop wherever, you know, as much as time permits. Reasons why you should speak in tongues. Number one, I think I have established the fact that speaking in tongues is a sign that the power of God has come upon you. Come upon is different from, you know, the one that happened when we received Christ as our Savior. Number one, tongues is primarily for a believer's own personal edification. 1 Corinthians 14. That 1 Corinthians 14 talks so much about, Paul was talking about, you know, speaking in tongues here and there. So, verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edifies himself. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Amplified says, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. 4a. Edifies and improves himself. So tongues is primarily for a believer's own personal edification. It is a believer's personal way to communicate with God. I'm going to talk more about that. But tongues is primarily for a believer's own personal edification. Says he who talks, he who speaks in a tongue, edifies and improves himself. Edifies and improves himself. Through the gift of speaking with tongues, our spirits can communicate directly with God. Who is a spirit? You remember John 4, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, he says, "You Samaritans serve what you do not know," you know, and he says, "This is the time when the people who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth." For God, John 4:24. For God seeks such to worship him. John 4:24. Yeah, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, the gift of speaking with tongues is a way for is a way that our spirits communicate directly with God, who is a spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. So, it is a means of spirit-to-spirit communication. When you speak in tongues, don't forget that somewhere in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul was still talking about when you speak in tongues, you are speaking mysteries to God. So, it is a means of spirit-to-spirit communication. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. 14 and 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. But my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. So, when we are praying in tongues, we are talking directly to God in a divine, supernatural way. So, it's spirit-to-spirit communication. Because God is spirit. And I remember, you know, talking about this a couple of years back, talking about tongues a couple of years back. And I was sharing, like, yes, a revelation that came to me. You know, tongues a language of the spirit. So it is your native language. You know, like Yoruba. Some of us speak Yoruba. Not everybody speaks Yoruba these days, but some of us speak Yoruba. So when you say you come from the kingdom of God, that tongues is a way to say, ah, okay, this is the native tongue of the spirit is tongues. Hallelujah. It's like, that is what it is. In the spirit, the language of the spirit is tongues. Like I said, you are Yoruba, you are Igbo, you speak Igbo or something. When you are a spirit-filled child of God, you should speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. You should speak in tongues. Okay? So, reason number, that would be what now? Number two, number three, I'm not sure. It says, this one, as we pray in tongues, we are charging up our spirits by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20, in an Amplified, please. Jude 20 in the Amplified. Jude 1:20 is just one chapter. Jude 20, yes. It says, but you beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Can you give me this in TPT, please? TPT. Okay, it says, but you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Go back to Amplified. Yes, you rise like an edifice, higher and higher. An edifice, higher and higher. So, as we pray in tongues, we are charging up our spirits. It is the way to charge up our spirits, like you are charging batteries. You know, now you have rechargeable. What happens if you don't charge? It does not give light. And that's what happens to us most of the time. Because we do not charge our spirits, it doesn't give light. We can't, you cannot swear by it because you are not sure. It's because you have refused to charge. Praise the Lord. That's why we keep looking for, and I don't have anything against seeking out people who you think are ahead of you in the faith. But that's why most of the time, a lot of believers will seek out prophets. We seek out prophets because we want to know. But we have refused to build ourselves. We have refused to charge ourselves. So we, on our own, don't know. So we go and meet somebody who we think should know. But that person that you went to meet has just built up himself. That's all. It's not as if, God is fantastic. God is just magnanimous. So it's not as if, yes, there are the fivefold ministry gifts, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and all of that. But in 1 Corinthians 12, when he was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, at the end of it, he says, seek ye, earnestly seek the best gifts. Meaning that even if you don't belong to those categories of people, I said earlier on, John 16:13 says, he will tell you what to come. So he says, earnestly seek, meaning that even if you don't belong to those places, there is a way you can go that those things become accessible to you. Praise the Lord. So yes, I am not a prophet, but I can build up myself so much that I will know, it will be as sharp as a sword. Praise the Lord. So, we need to charge our spirits. And the primary way God has given us to edify and build our spirits is by praying in tongues. And nothing can take its place. Nothing, not fasting. Fasting can't take its place. Fasting can't take its place. That is the primary way that God has given to build up, to charge our spirits, praying in tongues. So it is so important that we pray in tongues. Praise the Lord. Number four, praying in tongues is one of the primary ways to receive might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Don't forget that here it says that we are rising like an edifice. An edifice is a building. It's a building, something that you cannot pass by and say you didn't see. An edifice is something that is big. A big building. So, praying in tongues is one of the primary ways to receive might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3:16. And Paul was praying for the Ephesian saints here. saying that you might receive, 3:16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So we need to be strengthened in the spirit. This is closely related to that three that I just talked about now, charging. Charging yourself. So, one of the primary ways to receive might by God's spirit is by praying in tongues. Praise the Lord. It's by praying in tongues. Of course, the other ways are by the word and by confessions. But primary way is by praying in tongues. Number five. Fifth reason why you should speak in tongues. Praying in tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. Romans 8:26-27. When you are praying in tongues, because it is not orchestrated, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, so we have established that when you are praying in tongues, it's as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. So it is not something that you orchestrated in your mind. You know, like saying, let's say, God bless me. God bless me, bless my husband, bless my children, and nobody else. That is what is in my mind to pray. But when you are praying in tongues, because it is not coming from your mind, it is not coming from your brain. It is more sure that you are praying God's will, because the Spirit is praying through you. Praise the Lord. So when you pray in tongues, you are sure that you are praying God's perfect will. And don't forget that Romans 12 talks about God's acceptable three types of will. Now let's go there. Romans 12. Some part of my, but you know, because it's important that we are in the perfect will of God. Yes, it says, you prove what is that. That's verse 2 now, 12:2. Prove what is that good. There's good, there's acceptable, and there's the perfect will. So there's good. Good is neither here nor there. There's acceptable. Yeah, you can go ahead and do it, but that's not my perfect will for you. And then there's the perfect will of God. So when you pray in tongues, you are sure that you are praying in line with God's perfect will. Praise the Lord. Number six, when we pray with other tongues, we are able to fulfill God's command to pray for all the saints. We are able to fulfill that. 1 Timothy 2, I think, talks about praying for everybody. The only way you can pray for everybody is because you don't know everybody now. Sometimes when you want to pray, okay, so, you know, when you are praying maybe in church, you say pray for everybody. But as you begin to pray in tongues, then the Holy Spirit may, like, highlight somebody's name. Somebody's name may come to you. But you did not start out praying for that person. You were just praying for everybody generally. But when you now begin to pray for everybody, just say, I'm praying for Lighthouse community. I'm praying for this. In fact, we pray for the body of Christ. But even as you do that, then, you know, as you go along, the Holy Spirit may now, you know, like, bring some people to your mind, or bring some. But at least with the Spirit, you are sure that you can pray for all saints. Praise the Lord. So when it says to pray for all men, all people, all saints, the praying in the Spirit is the perfect way to do that, because you know that the Holy Spirit through you will direct the prayers where it is needed. He will direct the prayers where it is needed. Number seven, praying in tongues eliminates the possibility of selfishness. You know, like I said, it's possible for you to say, and that's what most of the time, it is when we say pray for ourselves, that's when, you know, the energy will be high. You know, the energy will be very high. But if you say, yeah, pray for church, pray for the body of Christ, pray for Nigeria, you know, say, then you would even barely hear people's voices. But when you say pray for our finances, you know, the tempo is very high. Pray for your husbands, pray for your children, you know. I won't say pray for your wives, because men like that, if you say pray for your wives, I'm sure they are looking at you and saying, what, I beg. Men are not in that. Am I lying? Eh? No. Thank you. Thank you. But if it's a woman, say, pray for your husbands now, you'll be hearing it, you know, and all of that. Pray for your children. Men, if you say, hey, men, pray for money, then maybe that one will ginger them to pray. But when you pray in tongues, it eliminates the possibility of selfishness entering into your prayers. Because then the prayers, like I said, the Holy Spirit is praying through you and is praying what he knows that, you know, is needed. Praise the Lord. Praying in tongues is a means by which we can magnify God. Acts 10:45, the story of Cornelius. Acts 10:45-46. You know, it's funny that when I said men not praying for, it's amazing the way, not a man, but you know, when the way men just, because I don't see, it is women that you see gathering around everywhere praying for. So you don't see men, am I, Abby? You don't see men gathering and praying for wife, praying for, they are not concerned with such mundane things. They are more interested in the making of the money, in the brief, you know, and all of that. And but God will give us understanding, because man, woman, we need to pray. And there's nothing that we should not pray about. Praise the Lord. There's nothing we should not pray about. You know, I have these younger friends, and they were having issues with their marriage, and I had seen the wife, and there was no use talking. Her mind was so made up. So I say, okay, husband, see me. And then he comes, and he just went blah, 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 blah. And I said, what about praying? He said, praying. Why? They are believers, so I'm not, you know, I don't even know whether I have an unbeliever friend again. I've been born again for so long, I can't, you know. He said, why? Why would I pray? The two of us should just meet somebody. The person should say, this is your point. This is your own fault. This is your own fault. Everybody should just go back home and adjust. It was amazing. It was eye-opening. He said, no need to pray. And I said, okay. No need to pray. Anyway, it didn't end too well. So let me not go. But you know, it showed me something. That's why I said what I said about men. They don't bother themselves with mundane things like praying for their marriages, praying for their wives, until stuff happens. May stuff not happen in your home in Jesus' name. Okay? So, it is a means by which we can magnify God. Acts 10:45-46. Peter was preaching in the house of Cornelius. Says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You know, we try to do that, but we are limited in language. That's when you see all those people that, you know, that praise singing. You know, that praise singing, they call it, in Yoruba, they call it Oriki, thank you. Yes, they call it. But after some time, you will get tired. Because you will run out of adjectives. God that is big, God that is... You will run out of adjectives after some time. But with tongues, you can go on and on. Praise the Lord. You can go on and on. So it is a means by which we can magnify God. Number 9. Speaking in tongues help us take conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence. Very important. The more you speak in tongues, the more you are conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is bound to affect the way we live. Very true. It affects the way you live. After some time, it's not as if you set out to do it, but yesterday morning, after I had finished praying, you know, I have this word that I normally will say. I say it all the time. Before I say something, in fact, people who are close to me know that I say that word. I had finished praying in the morning. I just came down. And something was happening on, I don't know whether on TV or something. And I just made that, you know, like backhand remark. And I just had a check in my spirit. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, okay, Father, help me. I will not say that word again. And that happens consistently when you pray in tongues. When you pray a lot in tongues, you just get, you know, those checks. You just get those checks. You just get it. You just get it. And the onus is now on you to respect those checks and make amendment. Because if you don't make amendment, the Holy Spirit will leave you. He will not force you. But the onus is on you when those kind of checks come. I had been saying this thing for years. I say it all the time. You know, offhandedly, you say something, you just... And I just had a check. I was like, oh, okay. So, when you pray consistently in tongues, you are more aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it is bound to affect the way you live. If you have an anger problem, pray in tongues. If you had one that you fly off the handle anywhere, take time to pray in tongues every day. And you will see the effect. Just take time to pray in tongues. And you will see the effect. You'll see the effect. It's bound to affect the way you live. I remember at some point, I had told you before about how so many years back, you know, I just began to be dissatisfied, kind of like with my, you know, my Christian experience. So I began to look. Up to now, I still look. Oh, don't mind me. But, you know, I began to look. And then I ran across, I don't know which one of these fathers, and the man said, make sure you pray in tongues 1 hour every day. That is aside your morning devotion, no, your Bible. No, every day consistently make sure you pray in 1 hour. Pray in tongues 1 hour. So I started to, you know, like, I started to do that. And one of the things I realized is that I became very, you know, the things that normally I would not complain about, I began to be weary of some things. They are not sin. It's not as if they are sin. But even though they were not sin, I just could not condone. Up till now, you don't see me sit down and watch. There's some things I won't watch. I will not watch it. It's not because they are bad. They are not sin. But I can't. My spirit just cannot contain them. Praise the Lord. So when you pray a lot in tongues, it will affect the way you live. It will affect the way you live. Most of us act in the flesh because we are not conscious of the Spirit of God within us. And that's the truth. That's the truth. We are not conscious. We are not aware, you know, of the Spirit that is within us. When you pray in tongues, you become more conscious of the Spirit, and it will affect the way you live. It will. It will. You know that song they used to say, the things I do them no more. It is not automatic like that. It takes, you know, some washing. Praise the Lord. Praying in tongues stimulates faith. We have read Jude 20 this morning. Tongue does not give us faith, but it stimulates. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. Hearing by the word. Romans 10, 17. But tongues stimulates faith. And I can tell you that. It stimulates faith. I can tell you that. One of the other things that happened as I began to do that many years back is that, you know, even the study of the word will change. Because it will just be like as if the things that you have been reading before, you did not understand. You just begin to have understanding. So if you are struggling with not understanding the scriptures, just pray more in tongues. Pray more in tongues. Pray more in tongues. You will see understanding. It will just be like a light bulb just went off in your head. You will receive more understanding. Praise the Lord. So, praying in tongues stimulates faith. It doesn't give you faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And we have all been given a measure of faith. Don't forget that. When you got born again, you were given a measure of faith. But you are to build on that faith. You have to build on that faith, and you have to consistently hear. You have to consistently hear the word, and you also have to consistently pray for that faith to grow. If you want to keep your spirit keen and alert, you need to exercise it by praying in tongues. I said that already. You want your spirit to be sensitive. And you need that sensitivity. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit cannot get through to us because we are not sensitive. It's not as if God is not speaking. God is always speaking. But it's like, we say, if you bring in, signals here. There are plenty. But it depends on the equipment. So sometimes our equipment is faulty. In fact, most of the time, our equipment is faulty. So God is speaking. God is saying, for instance, I remember, I used to also wonder. It's a new season. Somebody is saying, new season. What is that? Because you don't know. You are just unaware. So unaware. Sensitivity is low. So if you want your spirit to be keen and alert, you need to pray a lot in tongues. Want to be sensitive? You want your spirit to be sensitive? You want to hear. Like some people, they say it's how do I call it? There's this Yoruba way they say it. It's like somebody's, your ears are like, there's a way they say it. Like something like a knife that, passes through, that is like, you can't miss it. You want your spirit to be keen and alert. Pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues. And of course, speaking in tongues helps bring the tongue under subjection. I gave an example yesterday of me, saying something and I had a check in my spirit. So it brings your tongue under subjection. And James talks about bringing our tongue under subjection. If you talk too much or you lie, those kind of things, not lie, like half-truth or exaggeration, you just pray in tongues. It will bring your tongue under subjection. The more you pray in tongues, the more you will learn to yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit. And the easier it will become to speak only words that edify others in every situation. Yesterday I was it yesterday or Friday? I'm not sure. One of the reasons why I don't watch African Magic Yoruba again. Because they are forever cursing and swearing. It's been a while I watched it, but I just happened to. I had to tune well. I sure saw it. And then, of course, they go, why can these people not talk without swearing, without cursing? Before they say two words, they have put one curse inside. I can't even say it. So I said, here we go again. So you want to learn, you want to put your tongue under subjection. Pray in the spirit. In fact, if not that the spirit, by the time you even finish in the spirit, pray yourself, you'll be tired. You'll be too tired to even be involved in a talk that is not necessary. Praise the Lord. And this is so important. Speaking in tongues is the introduction to the gifts of the Spirit. It's the introduction into the gifts of the Spirit. It is the gateway into it. It's the gateway. I said before that, yes, you may not have been gifted. You may not fall into the five-fold ministry. You may not, but let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 12. I think that is verse 31. That entire 1 Corinthians 12 was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But that, it says, yes. After he had finished speaking, go to verse 30. Let me see what 30 says. After Paul had finished speaking there. Aha. I want to see where I want to start from. Start from verse 28. It says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. It says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. It says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Obviously, no. But verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. So, if you are interested, so that's why I say God is magnanimous. So, yes, there are a class of people that are, that, you know, have these gifts. Gifts of healings, gifts of miracles, gifts of, fantastic. There are a class of people that have it. But peradventure, you do not belong to that class. And you want the gift of the Spirit to work in your life. Speaking in tongues is it. It says, earnestly desire. So you can desire it. But it's not just a word of mouth. When you desire it, you back it with action. That action is speaking in tongues. And I have read so many people's testimony of how they began to speak in tongues for, you know, some good hours daily. And they began to see things. They just began to see things. So you want, you desire spiritual gifts. Speaking in tongues is it. And when I'm saying good hours, I'm not talking of 1 hour. I'm not talking of 2 hours. But whatever it is that you desire, back that your desire with action. Hallelujah. Back it with action. So you want to, you want the Holy Spirit to be, you know, and I think is one of the things that, again, we are lacking in the body now, because we do not have many people who have these gifts of the Spirit. Apart from those people that, like, you're a pastor, you're a prophet, those people that have been assigned to those gifts. Even those ones that have been given the gifts are not at, you know, they're not that visible and that sharp, because we have been taken away by so many things. We're concerned, we're bothered with so many things. These gifts need us to stay in the presence of God for longer hours. They need us to communicate with God for longer hours, not your regular 30 minutes. And I'm saying 30 minutes because when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and they were about to, he said, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? So people say that the minimum you can do a day is 1 hour. When you are praying, the minimum you should do a day is 1 hour. But I'm not even saying 1 hour. So let's say that you want to do this praying in tongues. Somebody's saying, okay, how do I do this? You have 1 hour. There's somebody that doesn't have 1 hour. It is just your priorities that are not in the right place. There's somebody that doesn't have 1 hour. Because I remember back then again, you know, when you say, okay, you don't have 1 hour, do 15 minutes. No. It's not the same. You can't do 15 minutes here, do 15 minutes here. No. It doesn't work. It has to be something you do at a stretch. You have to do it at a stretch. 1 hour, 2 hours. You know, I remember this man, Reverend Adeoluwo Soke. I don't know whether I had him here or hide him somewhere else. And he was talking about how he had an issue. And this one, I'm going back to you knowing things to come or things that are happening. Every believer has the answer right inside of them. The reason why we don't know those answers is, like I said, we are not taking time to seek. So he was saying that he had an issue, and you know, he had thought, and that he just went into his room and locked himself up for like 4 hours. And he was just praying in tongues. That by the end of the 4 hours, he knew exactly what was wrong and what he had to do. And that is available to everybody. He wasn't saying this as a, but he's not even a pastor. He doesn't pastor a church now. He's just I think he's an IT person or something. So every believer has that access, but we are not making use of it. If anything is happening in your life, take time out and seek God. Praise the Lord. Take time out and seek. God has not left you as an orphan. That's why I read that scripture at the beginning. He has not left us as orphans. Mm-mm. He has not. The challenge is that we are not doing what He requires us to do. we are not going the way he has earmarked that we should go. He has not left us as orphans. He has not left you comfortless. He has not left you helpless. No, he hasn't. He hasn't. But we would rather speak to people, speak to other people, tell somebody some of us, it's pity we are even looking for. The pity that will not solve problem at the end of the day. So God has not left us as orphans. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll stop here. I still have some more. But I hope I have been able to convince you that speaking in tongues is very essential. Very, very, very essential. Hallelujah. John 7. When you speak in tongues long enough, this spirit-controlled life, it will just happen. You will not need to, it's like you're setting up. No. You won't need to set, I want to live a spirit-controlled life. No. So it will just happen. John 7:37. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, I think KJV says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So the rivers of living water is in your belly. Or is in your, I think NKJV says, heart. But you know, that belly makes sense to me. Belly, heart, same. But that belly, truly, if you are praying and you're praying seriously in tongues, you will feel a constriction in your stomach. You have a weakness. You will feel a constriction in your stomach. It will be like as if your stomach wants to, like it is being tightened. Out of your belly will come rivers of living water. I remember a friend of mine joking that her belly was growing big. That means she has not been praying well. Because, and that is, when you are praying and you are praying so seriously, you will feel that constriction in your stomach. You will feel it. Praise the Lord. You will feel it. So it says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That it is a flowing stream. It's not something that should end. It's not something, and let me tell you this. It is not something that you will do and stop. When you stop, when you go back, when you come back again, you will start from the beginning. It's like you are eating. You eat for 2 days and then you say you are not eating. What will happen if you lose the weight? By the time you start to eat again, what? It will take time for you to gain back too. That's the same way it is. That's the same way. So it's not something you do and you are doing Indian race. Indian race, Abishay. Indian race is you fall out and then you go. No. It is something you do consistently. Consistently. No two ways about it. Praise the Lord. Let's rise this morning. Can we do 5 minutes? We have time to do like 5 minutes of speaking in tongues. Or if there's anybody that does not have that gift of the Holy Spirit, and you want to, you want hands to be laid on you this morning, nothing to be ashamed of. We're talking about your life here. You don't look at what other people will say. If you're not filled with the Spirit, and you just want to, you want to receive the gift of the Spirit, you can come out this morning and hands will be laid. Hands will be laid. But let's just speak in tongues for like five minutes. Masi haloba shati abadosa nkare bahara erebantosi zayande livranosha imanatosa. Say yeah, no.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,